Yossi, we are going to finish off the rest of Lamed Chesamun Beis in an effort in Meretz Hashem to catch up with the daf a little bit. So we left off Lamed Chesamun Beis 38b, Esve Abaye, which is four lines up from before the lines get wide. So the Gemara says, Esve Abaye, Ule Beishamai in Safik Motzi Midevade? Is that true according to Beishamai that a Safik cannot go ahead and override a Vadai? V'hotnan, we learned, Nafal Habaye Salav V'al Aviv, Alav V'al Morishav. A very interesting case. Let's say you have the following situation where there was a building collapse, and the building collapse fell down upon a father and a son. Or, ultimately, again, on the father and on his children. In other words, you'll see why this is a So remember, again, there are two creditors now for the two individuals who are deceased. There's ksuvas isha, there's a woman with the ksuva, and there are creditors. Now, what's going to make a difference over here is in the way that the two people passed away. Who passed away first? So watch this. The Gemara says, first wide line, Yorshe of Omrim, so the inheritors of the father, they say, Habein Meis Rishon V'Acharkach Meis Av. So they claim that ultimately, again, the son passed away first and the father passed away after him. Now, the reason to say that is why? Because if the son predeceased the father, then ultimately, again, the father inherits the son. U'Bachov Omer, the Bachov says, No, Ha'av Meis Rishon V'Acharkach Meis Av. The creditors, who again have their debt against the son, they claim that the father passed away first, the son inherited him, and therefore they have the ability to go ahead and collect their debt from the son's estate. So again, you have like a conflict of interest over here. So the ones who inherit the ksuva, or I should say the inheritors of the father, they say that halacha lamaisa, the son predeceased the father, therefore the father inherited the son, therefore they inherit the collective estate. The creditors say, no. The father passed, because the creditors are the creditors against the son. They say the father passed away first, then the son passed away, so therefore we get to collect our debt from that estate. Beishamai omrim yachloku. Beishamai says they split it. Ubeisila omrim, no. Nechasim beches kasan. We keep all property in its previously established chazaka. Now, why is this interesting? Iva ha ha ha, yarshe av vadai, balchov safek. But yet again, in this case, the inheritors of the father, they come with a vadai claim, because they're the inheritors of the father. The balchov comes with a safek claim, the ka'asi safek, moti mide vadai. And ultimately, what do you see from here? That a safek claim could go ahead and trump a vadai claim. To which the Gemara says, no, kasavri beishamai, shtar ha'omid lagabos ki gavoy dami. Here's the difference in this case. When there is a balchov, when there is a creditor, there is a document, there is a shtar. Beishamai holds that halacha lemaisa, a shtar, once you have a document, that's as if, That's literally shtarag omid lagavos, a shtar which you could use for collection. It's as if the debt has already been collected. Or in other words, it puts the creditor in as strong of a position as an inheritor. You know, we treated an inheritor like a vadai because that relationship is already established. The Gemara says when you have a shtar, having a shtar is the equivalent ultimately again of being mukhsak, of already being established in your claim. Therefore, we don't view the creditor as a safek, rather we view the creditor as a vadai as well. So really, it's a vadai claim of the creditor versus a vadai claim of the inheritors, and therefore, again, Beisila holds yachloku. Beishamai holds yachloku. Umenat temra. And how do we know that when you have a shtar, right, that makes your claim almost like a vadai? The lashon of the Gemara is when you have a shtar, it's as if your debt is already collected. So from where do we see that if you have a shtar, this lends such a degree of credibility to your claim? This nan mesu ba'alein. Interesting case, switching gears a little bit here to Sota. So let's say a woman suspected of adultery, husband warned her, do not be alone with a certain man. She defies the warning and she is alone with this man. So she becomes what we call a Sota. What's the halacha of Sota? Woman has to drink the mixture of water with the dissolved parchment of Sota, dissolved letters, Parsha Sota. Let's say again, the following situation. So a woman now violated the warning of her husband, and now she is to drink the waters of the Sota. And what happens? Let's say her husband died before she was able to drink the waters. Beishamai omrim no telech subasan. What happens? So Beishamai says, ultimately, again, note los ksuvasin ve'inan shosos. So Beishamai says, she gets to take her ksuva, now that she's a widow, she gets her ksuva, and she does not drink. Beisil omrim o shosos olo not los ksuvasan. Beisil says, no, listen, you either have to drink, or you give up your ksuvah. In other words, if you drink and you survive, you get your ksuvah. But if you don't want to drink, you forfeit your ksuvah. Which the Gemara says, really? Oh, shosos? Is it possible that after the husband died, the woman's going to drink the sota mixture? The pasuk says, Vehevia ishes ishto amrachman avaleka. The Torah says the husband has to be present at the time that his wife drinks the waters. And here the husband already died. Ella mitok shelo shosos lo not los ksuvasan. Rather, what Beis Hillel means to say is like this. Once she can't go ahead and drink, therefore she does not collect her ksuva. I vaha hocha the safeku the safeku safek zanai safek lo zanai. But yet again, here we have a safek. Did she commit adultery? Did she not commit adultery? And yet what? The kaasi safek umotzi mide badai. And ultimately, again, the safek is enough. So there is a safek. If she committed adultery, didn't commit adultery, is enough to go ahead and remove her from the badai. That at one point in time she was entitled to the ksuba. El shmamina. Rather, what do you see from here? That a document, ultimately, again, that is usable for collection, it's as if the debt is collected. In other words, it creates a chazaka. So why doesn't Abaye answer from here as well? Could be that a ksuva is different. Ksuva is different. What's the point of ksuva? Ultimately, again, mishum chino. So actually, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, v'lus mimeha, demas nisim ibisedr nashim, v'abayi lahachi lo osei miksuva, dekasav v'shein ksuva mishum chino, sheinosin chen be'ini hanashim, v'itharzu li nasa v'icha hechzikua misafek. It's interesting that one of the things Aksufa accomplishes, a couple of things. One of them, of course, is that it gives a woman a sense of financial security in the event, God forbid, of death or divorce. What it also does is, and by doing so, literally, again, it allows women to feel more comfortable getting married. Since a woman knows that she has some level of financial protection, ultimately, again, she feels more confident in getting married. That's what it means in Shemchina. So maybe because that there's an element of ksuva that is there to make a woman feel more secure and safe in marriage and to allow her to feel more comfortable getting into marriage, that's why we allow her to collect even in this kind of case. I have a low svei ksuvasa. So again, ultimately, again, we don't want to bring up cases for which there is a machlokes. Velo, is that true? Vahakatani, mesa, mayasa, viksuvasa, binchasim, nichlas, viotinima. Really, you don't want to go ahead and bring up cases for which there is a machlokes, but the Mishnah itself has machlokes. Because remember, again, in the case where the Shomeris Yavam passed away, this was the Mishnah. So what's the halacha? Mayasa, viksuvasa, binchasim, nichlas, viotinima. What should we do with the property? With their ksuva, first of all, or with the property that came into her with marriage. Beishamai omim yachloku yarshevam yarsheav. Beishamai says they split it. They are the inheritors of the husband and the inheritors of the woman, right? They both split. They both split the property, both the ksuva as well as any properties or possessions. Ubeisil omim nechasim vecheskasan. And Beisilel says ultimately, again, we leave the property in its previously established chazaka. To Rabbi says, see, again, we do record machloksim. Hachi kamer is what it means to say. Mesa maya sabik suvasa. If she dies, what should we do with her ksuva? V'shavka nechasim hanichnasim v'yotzim ima. And ultimately, again, and leave the property that she brought into the marriage with her. Beishamai omrim yachloku, yarshevam yarshev. Beishamai says they should split. The ones who inherit the husband and the one who inherit the wife, in other words, her family. And Beisilo says the properties remain in their chazaka. So the Gemara says, furthermore, again, the diuk for that is that what? It says that Allah Halamaisa, the inheritors of the husband with the inheritors of the father, and it doesn't say the inheritors of the father with the inheritors of the husband, which indicate to us that halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah is only talking about the case of ksuva and let me go back to this once more. So the Gemara says velo. Now the Gemara is asking over here that halacha lemaisa, we just wanted to say that Beis Shammai doesn't agree when it comes to ksuva. Is that true? V'ha-katani, let's just go back a couple of lines. V'ha-katani, let me read it once more because I realize I read it incorrectly. Mesa, ultimately, again, if she died, this is the second case of the Mishnah. So she died when she is a Shomeris Yavam. Maya sabik suva, so ultimately, again, what do we do? With her ksuva and with the either nechse tzon barzel, nechse milg, the property that comes into with marriage. So once again, b'shamay om yachlok yoshev al yoshev av, u'beisil om nechasim b'ches kasam. So b'shamay says, they split it, and b'silil says, ultimately, we leave properties with their, in their previous chazaka. So what do we see from here? We see from here that halacha lemaisa, Beis Shammai Shita applies both to ksuva as well as to property, which she comes into the marriage with, to which the Gemara says, no. Ha'achi kamar, meisa ma yaseh b'ksuvasa. What happens if she dies? See, both say the way the Gemara is reframing it, and this is what part I want to just clarify. The way Gemara is reframing it is that the discussion is about her ksuva. So the Gemara says, "Meisa Maya Sabik Suva." So if she died, right, while she was a Shomeres Yavam, what do we do with her ksuva? The Gemara says, "Ushavka." And then what happens? I'm sorry, I read it too quickly before. Shavka means that ultimately, again, we kind of put that on the side. We leave it. So we ask, what do you do with her ksuba? Leave that on the side. And then the Gemara kind of pivots to a new discussion. Nechasim ha-nechnasim ba-yotzim ima be-shame omrim yachlochu yarsheh balim yarsheh av. So again, when we speak about marital property that she brings in, so be-shame says, we split it between the heirs of the husband and the heirs of her family. Be-sila om nechasim be-cheskasan. And ultimately, again, be-sila says that halacha l'maisa, we leave the property in its previous chazaka. So the Gemara says, Ravashi, Masnisin Namidega. Ultimately, again, you can even bring a diuk in the Mishnah. What did it say in the Mishnah? Diktani Yachloku Yarsheh Balim Yarsheh Av. We learned in the Mishnah that what? It says that the inheritors of the husband should split with the inheritors of the father. Again, when we say the father, that means her Mishmacha. Velo Katani Yarsheh Av Im Yarsheh Bal. But ultimately, again, it doesn't make any mention of, it doesn't say the reverse order. Yarsheh Av Im Yarsheh Bal. So ultimately, again, what do we see from this? So the fact that it only uses that order indicates to us that Halacha L'maisa Beis Shammai is only referring to the splitting of Nechse Milug Nechse Tzon Barzel, but ultimately, again, is not talking about the Ksuva. It's not talking about the Ksuva, which supports this idea that Beis Shammai doesn't argue when it comes to the Ksuva. And indeed, the Gemara says, Shema Mino, that Halacha L'maisa Beis Shammai is only referring to the division of the property, nechasim ha-nechnasim ima, property, ultimately, again, that she brings into marriage, nechseim lug, nechseim tzim barzel, and ultimately is not referring to ksuva. All right, we'll stop over here. We're not finished with this discussion. In other words, that we're still trying to figure out, ultimately, again, how to distinguish between the reisha and the seifa in the Mishnah. And in Meretz Hashem tomorrow, we'll do the halacha l'maisa regarding this case as well. Namely, at what point in time does the Yavam really acquire rights to her property? And before that point in time, if something were to happen to her, who inherits? Meretz Hashem, we continue tomorrow. So tomorrow we will pick up at Abaye Amar, Reisha Dinaflu, second line from the bottom, second to last line on the daf, Shkayach Habosei.